Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Hey, if you've suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-322-HURT. That's 713-322-HURT. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
Trapped in the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Human Centipede with John and Lance. I'm not sure which end Bell is going to join.
901 here on the bench, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Joining us right now from ESPN, Texas beat writer DJ Bienemy joins us. We do this on Fridays at this time. He's all over the radio station on all the different shows. DJ, what's up, man? How we doing? You staying alive out there in that heat?
Besides, I know you guys feel how the sun is literally in our bedrooms.
It's un-
how hot it is outside, man.
We're so breaking records on a daily basis. So how many practices are held inside the bubble?
Since I've been covering Texans training camp this year, I believe one, and it was a walkthrough. I think they're outside yesterday in the heat. I remember talking to one player, he was like, man, it's hot outside. I'm like, man, why am I facing like that? The same time you play the one. She said, man, I don't know.
Some real Junction Boys type
stuff. And you play, but you play indoors too. Like, I get trying to acclimate yourself to the heat, but at some point, man, it wears you down.
Yeah, we know the difference because the Miami beat writers are in town and we're complaining. And we know, DJ would know as well, that South Florida can be different when it comes to weather. But even the Miami guys went, this is tough. What Houston reporters and players are dealing with. DJ Bienemy joins us, and you have an article out right now, a piece out on ESPN.com, and it's about, at least part of it is about CJ Stroud responding to the questions of him not being named a starter. We read the quotes earlier. He says he ain't tripping. He just does what's on his plate out there. Because in my eyes, it's almost like a roll your eyes situation. We all know what's happening. We all know when it's going to happen. Is that kind of just a feel? We're just waiting for D'Amico to finally say what everyone knows is going to happen?
Yeah, that's just what it is. Because, again, I can understand, like, but it looks like it's Jedi mind tricks, trying to make Baltimore guess, trying to make Baltimore think. Well, if you really were trying to do that, start Davis Mills in a couple of preseason games. You really want to do that. You're starting C.J. Stroud in every single preseason game. The reports are he's taking first-team reps since early August, so for the entire month. Like, Davis Mills hasn't had a single rep with the first team offense since, I want to say, late July. He has not had a single first team rep. And, like, that's been reported. So, like, all Don Harbaugh has to do, go on Twitter and Google CJ Stroud first team reps, and he'll see CJ gets all the first team reps. Or you can go online and go to read through articles, and you'll know, all right, CJ has all first team reps. All right, this is who's going to start. Right, and today he's starting all the preseason games. So I'm not really too sure what's the point of not naming a starter, but, you know, niggas can do what he wants to do. I don't really understand what he's truly gaining. Because, again, like, you say, oh, yeah, he's a starter now, like, that's just nipped in the bud. And now we don't have to, like, continue the charade. But, you know, D'Amico's a first-year head coach. You know, these are things that sometimes, like, first-year head coaches don't fully grasp. And, you know, they may overthink the situation and think, hey, I'm just trying to focus on this and focus on that. Well, I mean, just say he's going to be a starter and then you can focus on other things, you know, and not to worry about having to officially name the guy the starter, you know. So
it feels like since it's his first year, he wants to create a culture of competition, and he is, you know, he's holding out the same rules for everyone. Hey, no, it's not. It's always going to be a competition. The reality is I think he could treat the quarterback position and the second pick of the draft a little differently, in the sense that it's probably time to name him, just like the Colts named Anthony Richardson earlier.
This is getting to be later. Just name them. It doesn't really matter at the end of the day. I don't think C.J. Stroud is concerned about it. I think there's an understanding that he's going to be the starter. But it's just one of those things. I know it bothered Dell. Something that bothers me is bad offensive line play. It was interesting. The Texans made a trade, kind of went a little bit under the radar. But Josh Jones, former University of Houston left tackle and right tackle, the Texans traded a fifth rounder to him to Arizona for Josh Jones, who is in the last year of his contract. And he has 21 starts in the NFL. Now, is he a full-time starter? I don't, on most teams, I don't know about that. But what I do know is this is a pretty clear sign, DJ, that number one, the Texans understand that Titus will be out at least week one and maybe beyond. But I think this is also an understanding that, hey, we want to have enough depth, quality depth, that we are not going to get our young quarterback hurt. And you have eventually Charlie Heck will make it back, you assume. You'll have Josh Jones. You'll have four starting tackles with NFL experience. I give them a lot of credit for making this Josh Jones pick up and recognizing, hey, this is just not going to be good enough if we don't do something.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a bunch of layers going into the point, the excellent points that you're making, right? First point, I then let's suggest the elephant in the room, right? So Titus probably isn't going to be ready week one. He's still the cast, right? So he's probably not going to be ready week one. Because, again, like, week one is, what was it, August 25th? Like, we're right around the corner now. You know what I'm saying? Like, we're, like, two Sundays away from week one. So that's the first step. The other elephant is, in all honesty, George Fant has looked shaky. So if George Fant looks shaky and he's your swing tackle, he, like, during the practice, there were times where Jalen Phillips was having his way. And the Ravens front has a good front. Now, do they have a superstar pass rush? No, but they have guys that can get after the passes. So, okay. And we all saw throughout preseason that the biggest drop-off at each position, where every position from starter to backup, isn't quarterback. It's from starting offensive lineman to backup offensive lineman. So if you can get quality depth, then that's something you have to do, because people are going to get hurt. It is what it is. And you don't want your weakest link to be a guy that has no business being out there. Because we all three of us know, when there's a backup offensive lineman that has no business being out there, he can ruin offensive plays. He can turn a first and 10 into a second and 15 in the blink of an eye, because he doesn't, like, he's just not capable. So I think that's also a play. I think the final point is, we all know CJ is not going to be one of those guys that can play, at least your one, with a muddy pocket. So you have to give him as clean of a pocket as possible on a consistent basis for him to operate. Because that New England Patriots game was probably the most pressure he saw his whole time in his whole entire college career. You know, that's probably the most pressure he's ever seen in a two-city standpoint in his entire college career. We know what type of quarterback he's going to be at least year one. Now, can he grow and develop more pocket awareness and be able to maneuver in the pocket better and understand how to play in muddier pockets? Yeah, but year one, that's just probably not going to be his bag. So we have all those three things combined. Titus, CJ's play style, it behooves the Texans to add more depth there, knowing that the last thing you want is CJ running for his life. So we saw against the Patriots what that looked like.
DJ, now that training camp is over, I'm sure you entered into it with a big question that you wanted answered, probably several. Can you give us what that question was and was it answered about this Texans team?
Yes, so I think I actually had two questions. The one was, okay, how quickly could CJ get acclimated to the speed of the NFL and the rhythm and time within the Kyle Shanahan West Coast offense? You know, obviously Bobby Sloan's running it, but he comes from that tree. Because I know we always say the cliche of, oh, got to play in rhythm, it's a timing offense. All right, everybody's a timing offense, but there's some teams that have a little more wiggle room. Where here, there ain't that much more wiggle room, right? You got to, when you hit that back foot, the ball got to come out, right? When Bobby calls a specific type of play, they're going to read a specific type of defender, or whatever he does, they're going to read off of that, and you got to throw it into the pitch and throw it into windows and throw guys open. And I want to see, okay, how does CJ get more comfortable with that? And from the first day of training camp, I think it was July 26th or 27th, one of the 2 days, to now, it's night and day. From that operation standpoint, he looks much better. My other question was, will the receiver room be able to elevate CJ? And the answer to that is, I don't know. They haven't answered that yet. Can they elevate him? Because when we look at all rookie quarterbacks that have immediate success, right? When we go all the way back to 2021 with the new CBA, but who would you start a rookie quarterback in the top five? But who would you because of the rookie play skill? The guys that have hit the ground running, Cam Newton, RG3, Baker Mayfield, Justin Herbert, Joe Burrow, guys like that. I'm probably missing a few guys in between that, but regardless, guys like that, they all had a guy that could get you 1,000 yards or would get you 1,000 yards, right? Cam had Steve Smith. RG3 had Pierre Garçon. Justin Herbert had 2,000-yard guys, Mike Williams and Keenan Allen. Baker had Jarvis Landry. Joe Burrow had Pete Higgins. So the guys that have hit the ground running and they've shown those flashes, for the most part, they've all had, even Andrew Luck, because he had T.Y. Higgins. They all were 1,000-yard guys, right? The Texans, the only guy that's been a 1,000-yard guy is Robert Woods, but he's been hit that since 2020. Right. 2021, he tore his ACL. And in 2022, it was a slow year with the Titans. So I was trying to see, okay, can the receiver elevate this guy? The answer right now is, I don't know. Like, it doesn't appear that it's going to be more of a working the sliding scale versus, hey, I can just throw this ball. This guy can even just make a play for me. So that question has not been answered yet. And I don't want to say that's the case yet until the games start. Because I want to see this receiving core against the Ravens, even though Marlon Humphreys isn't going to be out there. But I want to see him against that defense. And I want to see him against the Colts and then see him against, you know, the Steelers and Jags. That's what I want to see. So I'm going to get a good feel for, okay, can this receiving core elevate CJ? Because most rookies, year one quarterback-wise, they get elevated, right? Even Mahomes, like, granted, like, his rookie year was, he didn't play much. But the second year, yes, he threw 3 touchdowns. But he had 2 Hall of Fame weapons and a Hall of Fame head coach, which elevated him while he was talented, able to shine. So that's my next question that still hasn't been answered, and I want to see once the season gets here.
That's DJ Bienemy. By the way, how do you pronounce your last name? I want to see if I'm pronouncing it right.
You're close. You're like 95% close.
Well, let's get in 100% then.
Bienemy.
Okay, perfect. DJ Bienemy from ESPN. And make sure you follow him. He's got a lot of great information. And a lot of times, now that Bill O'Brien's gone, there's actually more information that's allowed to come out from practices, things like that. So you actually get some good bits of information from him and talking about that. You wrote the piece about, I was reading how all the rookie quarterbacks are doing at ESPN on the ESPNsite.com. Did you write that piece on CJ Stroud, what the coaches are saying, what, you know what I mean, where it broke it down?
Yeah, I was a part of that.
Okay, so
there was
one thing that was mentioned, and it talked about Bobby Slowick, what the coaches are saying. And Slowick says something like, CJ does a good job of recognizing his mistakes and pointing them out. He recognizes other people's mistakes. When I read that, all I could think of was like a slick way to say, I don't know that this is the case, but it's a slick way to say, oh no, he knows what he's doing wrong. He knows what other people are doing wrong. How is he, like, you get a good vibe on CJ in terms of being a guy who is willing to eat certain things that other guys did wrong just to, you know, play the lead quarterback role, you know, protect other teammates. You know what I'm saying? Is he going to, because Kyler Murray is known as not that guy at all. Do you get the sense that CJ's willing to take some hits that maybe he doesn't deserve if a wide receiver runs the wrong route? Like, what do you get from him in terms of that type of team leadership role?
Yeah, I think CJ is a legitimate leader. Like, I think he's a natural born leader. Like, I talked to a lot of players. I'm actually working on a story about his leadership qualities, but he can command the huddle. Like, I remember Nico Collins telling me, like, he could feel that aura from the first time he got in the huddle with him in OTAs, right? CJ, before training camp, actually gathered the team. Like, they already did for the, before they had to report, but gathered the team for bowling. Like, he sent out text messages to each position group that, hey, we're going bowling, this is and that, we're going to go at this time, at this spot. Let's all meet. Obviously, everybody's going to make his standings, blah, 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 but he organized that as a rookie. Like, again, I've covered the quarterback that wasn't doing stuff like that, you know? And he did that, and every time we asked him about the quarterback, like, not being named the starter, right? He always says, man, I'm not worried about this stuff. It's about us getting better as a team. And then granted, yeah, that could be cliche stuff like that, but he's a legitimate, I think he legitimately believes that. Like, he's a team first type of guy. Because I think his locker is next to a defensive guy. His locker actually next to LT and right next to Jalen Petrie. And then on the other side is Kobe Francis. So he interacts with everybody. Like, that's one thing I heard about him at Ohio State. That's one thing I see now. Because he's arrived from practice during training camp with Jalen Petrie to practice. You know what I'm saying? Just picking his brain, talking to him, learning more about him, building that bond. They'll talk about gospel sometimes. They'll talk about current LA rap, basketball. And I used to always see him at the practice talking to the defensive backs just to ask what is he seeing? What are they seeing from him and what is he seeing from them, right? And then asking him, picking his brain so he can be better the next day in terms of what coverage they're throwing at him. And so, yeah, now he's a legitimate leader across the board. Like, you can get that vibe. You can get that sense. Because even, like, with, you know, he threw that pick, right? He could have, I don't know who he could have thrown under the bus, but, like, if you want to throw somebody under the bus, you could have thrown somebody under the bus. And he was like, nah, that's all on me. I should have checked it down. It's a good play by two. Obviously, he was talking about Jalen Mills. And even when the O-line was getting him, you know, beat like a pinata, he never even, like, hesitated to get thrown under the bus, like, at all, right? So, he is a legitimate leader in that aspect. And I think he understands that at the quarterback position, you have to take the bullets. Because players listen to pressures. They listen to pressures. Because I remember, I know we all remember with Zach Wilson, when they went to go play New England, and he had, like, the offense had 2 yards of total offense the whole second half. And the reporter asked, hey, did you guys let the offense down? And he quickly said no. And the whole team, the whole defense turned on him at that point. And he lost his starting job for the rest of the year, basically. And when he came back, you know, it was basically over for him at that point. But we all know if you do not, as a quarterback, take the bullet, take the fall, and be the face of the franchise and understand what comes with that, it can backfire on you quickly. And I know CJ understands that.
DJ Bienamay.
There you go.
I don't know how.
Well,
I'm
he can't do it.
Up.
I can do it.
Vienna May. There it is.
There you go.
Sounds like VMA sometimes. I just think Vienna May. We've had so much Eric Bienemy, it's you just get locked in. But DJ Vienna May joins us every Friday at this time. We appreciate it. We're looking forward to the final preseason game, see what the cuts look like, and then we'll lock it in once we get ready for week one as well.
No problem. You guys have a great rest of your day.
All right, have a good weekend. 918-713-780-3776. You're listening to The Bench. And we start to there's just no telling what's going to happen next on the show.
I want to talk about Eli Apple and his baby mama.
That's messy.
It is messy. I like messy.
Do you like messy?
I like messy.
Are you sure you're willing to do this?
I'm not going to. What? I'm just going to read what she said.
No. Are you sure you want to get this messy?
Why not? What else is there to do?
I don't really have a problem with it. I just feel like I need to pretend like I don't.
Like you're drawing a line and I'm going to cross it?
Yeah, I'm letting you cross this line.
I'm a habitual line stepper. I'll do it.
Well, this one's going to step the line. We'll hear Ryan Clark, who called Tua Tua Tagovailoa a thick stripper from Onyx. He's now apologizing. I knew that was going to happen, even though he basically doubled down right after it happened. We'll have that apology for you. And cornerbacks with baby mama drama. That's a problem. You know what they could probably use, both of them? Maestro de Bell. Tequila makes everything better if you have the right tequila. Some tequila makes things much, much worse. Those are the cheap ones. Those are the rot gut tequila. You have it, you drink it, whether it's a shot or you're sipping it, it's got that that burn. It's not a favorable sound that you hear this. Whew. You know that sound. That's what I have whenever I've had OGD shots with LeShane. It's that But when you have Maestro de Bell, it's always, wow, this is really good. That's nice. It's a sipping tequila. It's a sipping tequila, and there's different types. There's Reposado. There is Añejo. There is the Cristalino, which they invented. The Añejo Extra. Then there's the Añejo Extra Cristalino, which is a high-dollar, fancy tequila that is as good as I have ever had in my life. And I've had sips of some of the best tequilas, and this is by far, to me, the very, very best. It's at the top of the top shelf. Maestro Nobel, wherever fine liquors are sold, you're going to find it. It's a top shelf tequila without paying top shelf prices, and it really goes great with everything, especially getting your weekend started. Maestro Nobel, wherever fine liquors are sold, if they don't have it, ask for it by name. It's Maestro Nobel.
ESPN 97.5 on FM radio. AM is stupid.
Got him.
610, please.
Ladies and gentlemen, we got him.
John plus Lance equals a damn good start to your day. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's John and Lance.
Would you like to give people a chance to win something, Lance?
Sure. What are we winning?
Well, we've been doing this all week. I know you're not. You generally don't pay attention when I do a giveaway. You guys are too busy, I don't know, writing your next Dusty Baker barb. But we've been giving away tickets all week long for the Cougars game on not this Saturday, but the next Saturday against UTSA. If we all remember last year's game, it was a thrilling one. Went to overtime. The Cougars held off UTSA and that one, the Roadrunners. So we're going to give you a chance to win some tickets at 9:30. Don't call in now. 9:30. We're giving away two tickets as the Cougars begin their inaugural season in the Big 12. This is not a Big 12 game, but this is their first season in the Big 12. We're going to give you a chance to see them. So caller 12 at 9:30 to 713-780-3776. It was a pair of tickets to the University of Houston game on Saturday, September 2nd. You can also get a family four-pack, four tickets, four hot dogs and chips, four sodas, all for just $60. Go to uhcougars.com/tickets or call 713-GO-COUGS. Get your tickets today. Tickets also start at just $20. So remember, caller 12 at 9:30 wins two tickets to that game on September 2nd. The Cougs versus the Roadrunners.
Caller 12 at 9:30. And I got a question. Speaking of four packs, did you see over the weekend there's a variety of movie theaters? I want to make sure I get this right, including you've got Regal is one of them. You have, let's see, it's National Cinema Day on Saturday, on August 27th, which is going to be
Sunday.
I guess on Sunday. 30,000 screens at roughly 3,000 locations are going to offer $4 tickets for movies currently in the theater, including Barbie, Oppenheimer, and the new DC superhero Blue Beetle and Gran Turismo. So these are just some of them that you could go. John Wick 4, Little Mermaid, Alamo Drafthouse, Regal Cinemas, which we have here, Cinemark Theaters, which we have. I think we have Cinemark. And AMC Theaters, which we definitely have. That is going to be going on. So the effort ultimately grows blah, 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 blah. In 2022, the average cost of a movie ticket was $11.75. last year it was $3 movie tickets. This year it's $4. I have not seen Oppenheimer yet. Usually back in the day I would have definitely have seen it by now, and I think they're going to actually get me to go
for the because $4.
Yeah, I think I am, unless there's going to be a bunch of other people and I don't want to watch it with you. I like my movie theaters like I like my lunches.
Alone?
By myself?
And on a towel?
Or with only one other? Yeah. Yeah, I like it. Truth be told, I like that iPick theater where I can have them bring me food and lay back in the recliner and have a blanket. Yeah, like you lay down in a blanket. Yeah, that's great. It's just I didn't know it has to cost so much money.
To have a reclining chair?
Well, that and have the food. Yeah, it's like it's movie theater prices. I guess I should expect it.
So $4. You don't want to see Oppenheimer and IMAX because apparently that's the experience.
Yeah. Let's get Albert in here. Albert wants to talk Texans. What's up, Albert?
Yeah, I wanted to talk to you guys about the Texans owner. You guys, I think, are being a little hard on the guy.
Cal McNair?
Yeah, I mean, maybe he didn't need that job. Maybe he's doing, you know, the best he can. Maybe he just had a different dream, a different 5-year plan. Maybe his dream is to be the toy train appraiser on Antiques Roadshow, and then somebody just busts into his playroom, and they're like, "Hey, put down that Go-Gurt and get over to the stadium because you're in charge now." Maybe he didn't want to do it.
Do you think he has to? You think he has to drink one of the Go-Gurt where you open the Go-Gurt and? Because I know what you're talking about, and you squeeze it out. You think that's what Cal was doing?
Maybe he likes that. Maybe that he just grew up eating those. We don't know. And he didn't even want this job until Hannah promised that Aramark would still cut the crust off his bologna sandwiches over at the stadium. And so he was like, fine, I'll do it.
And you think we're being hard on him?
You think we're being too hard on him?
Yeah. I mean, and you know, Hoover makes those Hodor jokes. I mean, jokes on you, actually, because if you think about it, that guy saved the life of the future king. And so maybe he's holding the door open to the road to the Super Bowl. How about that? If he's done now, boom.
No, boom is right.
Thanks for the call, Albert. I actually, to be honest with you, I hadn't thought about that. That maybe holding the door open to the Super Bowl.
But the door was held closed to allow Brand and others to escape.
Well, but maybe in this instance, we're holding the door open.
Because if Hodor held the door open, everyone would be dead.
Well, but did the future king live?
Because he held the door closed.
And I would argue that maybe they should just open it because I hate Bran.
I hate it. Yeah.
And I don't hate him for any good reason. I mean, he's just some kid walking around in a wheel or just rolling around in a wheelbarrow.
And he treated the girl who was pushed him around for like three seasons really awfully at the end. He's just like, oh, okay, bye. And then she disappeared from the show.
Yeah.
So if I were to have known that at least in the show ending that Bran was going to become the king, I would have asked for Hodor to let those walking dead things
bologna
kill
sandwiches?
Him.
Crust off bologna sandwiches that we're being too hard.
We know that Cal likes to grill. I don't think he's reducing himself to bologna sandwiches.
No. That guy's way out of line.
Yeah, hey, Albert, you're way out of line.
You were way out of line with what you said.
I think you were very rude to Cal.
I like what Cal's doing right now, letting football people do football stuff, and he happens to have the right football people in. At least, you know, we know it's not for sure the wrong ones.
Yeah. Now, Cal hasn't had to deal with much controversy during his time as the owner outside of, you know, his team not being very good awful coaches or Deshaun. I know.
Yeah, not much other than 24 small hand towels.
Well, you don't know how many hand towels are used. But
they've gone higher.
Yeah, it could be more. But how would Cal handle this? Now, let's say Deshaun was a new signing like Eli Apple is for the Dolphins. And a story comes out featuring Eli Apple and the woman who had his child. I don't really like the baby mama phrase. So I'm going to say the woman who bore his child. She goes by the name of, I guess she goes by a couple names. But her name is Ari on Instagram.
Okay.
And she has had less than complimentary things to say about one Eli Apple. We found someone ruder about him than Tyreek Hill. That's an upset.
What did Tyreek say?
You know, Tyreek Hill and Eli Apple had their back and forth because of the Bengals-Chiefs playing a couple times in championship games. And Tyreek said, I think, when the Bengals were going to face the Dolphins, that I got you, Eli. I'm coming after you. Because apparently Eli Apple was very disrespectful when the Bengals upset the Chiefs in the AFC title game now a couple seasons ago. So I guess on Instagram it's Ari, but her name is Destiny. And I asked you to spell it, and you got it wrong.
Yeah, I couldn't have seen this coming.
It's Destaini. And she says Eli Apple is a bad father. And she took to Instagram to explain. You know she thinks he's a bad father because she wants a bounty on his knees. She asked.
On his niece?
Knees.
Bounty on his knees is actually not as bad as bounty on his niece.
Yeah, that would be worse. If he has a niece. If you go, this is what she put on her Instagram story. If you play against my baby dad this season, please go for his knees.
Whoa, wow.
Maybe a hammy. I don't know how you purposely injure someone's hammy. I know how you could get at someone's knees. So she may be asking a little much about his hammies.
Deep bone brute? No. Yeah. I don't know how they would tear the hammy. If they could tear it off the bone, that's going to keep him out for the year.
It's a little difficult to do.
Does that pay? Did she say what the...
Well, she said she would Zelle anyone who gets fined. Now, I don't know how much money she has or does she know what a fine in the NFL is for purposely hurting someone,
mm-hmm.
but I'm not sure she's going to back it up with the Zelle payment because those fines can be hefty. The NFL will come after you if they deem that you're purposely hurting another player. So, and she has text messages and screenshots of those text messages between her and Eli Apple, and it's ugly. I don't know if they're still up, but you can find it. You can go to Larry Brown Sports.
I'll be honest. I feel like if you're going, That's pretty tough action. So she's mad at, and apparently Eli's been even worse.
According to her, we don't know what's real and what isn't. True. But she says he has been a, during her pregnancy, he wasn't great. She talks about, then he tells me he has a sex problem, and I'm the sixth pregnant woman in 3 years. The others just had abortions, but I'm already 14 weeks at the
Good
time
Lord.
Of this confession. Apparently, she's accusing Eli Apple of being a person who pushes for abortions, and she just refused. It's an ugly back and forth. It's out there. I don't have to read all of it, but just know. If you're
That's your team.
Yeah, it's a messy cornerback room. Like, Jalen Ramsey's the least messy of them all, and that's saying something because Xavier Howard was being sued or is being sued for allegedly releasing, let's say, just say a sex tape. The woman accused him of filming and then sharing a sex tape. He and his lawyer have said those are unfounded allegations, and she's only going after him because he refused to pay her money in the past. So she's trying to get money out of him that way. So the Dolphins' corner is messy.
Eli Apple, good luck. Keep those. Watch out for those knees. I'd wear knee braces if I were you. The rare cornerback wearing a knee brace.
Yeah, I'm sure Austin Eckler's going to try to take out your knees in week one because
watch out.
There's money that he could get, and she'll pay his fine.
Hey, don't mess around and end up in a game against Jonathan Taylor. He's trying to find ways to make money.
Well, Jonathan Taylor might be a teammate.
Yeah.
Pretty soon.
Could be. Let's break it here because we got, before we get to news of the word, we have two other, and by the way, do we have a winner, Sean?
Yes, we do have a winner.
Okay, we have a winner for the 12th caller for the Cougar ticket, so you don't need to call anymore. Two people had some missteps. One apologized, and one did not. We'll tell you how that's going on, and then we'll get to News of the Weird. It's 9:34 here on The Bench, 713-780-3776.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Sweet Sassy Molassie.
Sweet Sassy Molassie. Get out the checkbook and pay grandma for the rub down as the Spurs beat the Heat.
The Veritex Community Bank Studios. It's time to rejoin the undisputed best sports talk show in Houston. It's Clearly John and Lance, except no substitutes.
We all put our foot in our mouth a little bit from time to time. Sometimes we don't believe we did. Sometimes we get belligerent and battle against it. And sometimes we don't. Sometimes we apologize, whether it's our words or our actions. Two things that have been on the show that we recently discussed. One is Ryan Clark laughing at Tua, saying, we know one thing he didn't do was work out this offseason. He's thick in his butt, his legs, like an Onyx dancer, which would be a, you know, female stripper.
Club, yes.
And, Tua was asked about, I thought it was out of line. Tua was asked about it. Dolphins fans were really pissed. Tua was asked about it at camp, and he just kind of – he was kind of hemming and hawing, and he said, look, I'm Samoan. It's big in our culture. Respect is big in our culture. You know, basically he said enough is enough. That was crossing the line a little bit. And if we need to get scrappy, I'll get scrappy. Kind of threw that and keep my name out your mouth. As his answer went on, he started feeling
more and more brash. Assertive, yeah.
Yeah. Ryan Clark – had doubled down, basically. I'm not taking back what I said. I meant it. And then all of a sudden, after he kept taking heat from Dolphins fans and probably some people behind the scenes, probably got to him as well. Here was Ryan Clark making a hostage apology video in a bathroom somewhere, I think.
If I've offended you, Tua, if I've hurt you, if I've disrespected you, if anybody that supports and loves you feels some sort of way because of what I said, I truly apologize. I had two priorities when I started this job. Number one, respect the players and the executives and the coaches that make this game run. Number two, it was earn the respect of those very same people, and more importantly, keep it. Anything contrary to that, then I gotta check myself. Now, don't get me wrong, my ego was involved. When Tua was asked about how he felt about these comments and he said, keep my name out your mouth. Yeah, my first thought is, or what? Or he says he's scrappy. I think to myself, man, I fed my family on violence. I ain't tripping on that. But that's the pride that doesn't enable me to see what this dude's going through. The constant criticisms, the constant scrutiny, constantly being questioned, feeling the stress of always having to prove yourself just to show people you can be available. And then you work throughout the entire offseason, which I talked to his trainer and said that man was in there three times a day to build himself up to be healthy. And you got to hear a comment like this. So I get it. I get it because I do want to respect Tua Tagovailoa. I get it because I want his respect too. So to the Miami Dolphins, to head coach Mike McDaniel, who I have a ton of respect for, but most of all, to Tua Tagovailoa and his family, I deeply apologize. I've reached out. I hope to talk to you soon, brother. But just know, I wasn't questioning the way you work. I wasn't questioning how much it mattered to you.
Yes, you were.
It was what I can consider now a bad joke. But for me, it's been a lesson.
And come on my podcast.
I'll be better.
Yeah, that's what it'll be.
I'll wear my podcast hoodie to promote it without promoting it, and I hope to talk to you soon on my podcast.
To his credit, he, you know, that was a real apology. Now, he did throw, he did have a little sneaky little, you pointed this out. He wanted to make sure you knew one thing, though. He fed his family on violence. He wanted you just to know, my ego speaking, because I knew I would whoop your ass if we, like, he basically wanted Tua to know that.
Like, no, see, you can say we can get scrappy, but look here, not backing down. If we got to fight, we got to fight, and I'll beat your ass.
I was a safety, is what he was trying to tell you.
He fed your family on controlled violence in a sport.
I saw so many videos of him. Somebody put some videos. He would have been a targeting machine.
Yeah, he wouldn't have survived.
Mm-hmm.
He would have been kicked out of games. He would have been suspended because he wouldn't have been able. The rules that they've set in place, he would have ignored, at least the way he played. He wouldn't have been a modern safety.
No. He would have had to change a game. What are we doing here? Are we even playing football? Would have been something
that's
he said
something
at some point.
That's something he would have said, yeah.
And then there was, what's the guy's name? Pablo.
It's Rubiales. That's his last name. He is still the current president of the Spanish Soccer Federation. If you remember him, or even if you don't, Luis Rubiales. I was just going to go if you
Pablo's
call him
brother,
Pablo.
That's right, yeah.
Pablo's not his brother. You just made that up. If you were up and about, you probably didn't see it live, but you might have seen it later. He, let's just say, force kiss, I guess some people call it.
Well, Spain won the World Cup. Women's World Cup.
And if you know European soccer celebrations, or really any celebrations, they used to just go up into the stands and receive the award. Now they put up a dais on the field, and all the dignitaries are out there, the people who run the different federations, who hosted the World Cup, all those things. And it's like a line of tribute. The players walk by, they get a medal, and they shake hands, and they hug all the people in suits who don't play. Except for this, where Luis decided he wanted to get a kiss in with the number 10 for Spain, Jenny Hermoso.
It looks like he just grabbed her by the face. They kissed each other on the lips. It looked consensual to me. And then and then it was just a real quick, you know, just a quick aggressive power kiss.
Uh-huh.
And then on she went. And then he gave her a little tap on the butt.
He didn't do that. He did not actually do that. He was criticized for grabbing his crotch in celebration, not while he was kissing her, but while he was looking at the coach, who's under fire for his actions towards some of the women on his team and the women who didn't even.
Wait, the same guy grabbed his crotch?
Yeah, he grabbed his crotch. He apologized for that, but he will not apologize for, let's just say, what he calls a consensual kiss with one of the players. Initially, the thought was he was going to resign today.
Huh?
That was the report yesterday, and then a report came out this morning where he said, I'm not going anywhere.
Like he had made the decision to resign.
That's what people
thought.
And
then what did he say today?
He was Leo in Wolf of Wall Street. I'm not effing leaving.
Can you read what he said? This is kind of
it is spectacular.
Yeah.
It's not something an American executive, like Vlatko, when he got fired, he didn't go, no, F you, fake feminist. He got fired for different reasons, not for making out with Alex Morgan or anything. But Luis Rubiales, the still current president of the Spanish Football Federation, says this. Did you think this incident is so serious that I should go after the best management in the history of Spanish football? Let me tell you, I'm not going to resign. I am not going to resign. I'm not going to resign. I've come under a lot of pressure. Perhaps some people look to remove me on Monday, but we live in a country of laws. Is a consensual kiss enough to remove me? I'm going to fight until the end. I hope the law is followed and that there's no reason it won't happen to remove me. In a moment of euphoria, I grabbed that part of my body. This is him apologizing for grabbing his crotch. I was looking at Coach Jorge Vilda. We've been through a lot this year. People have wanted to do the same to Vilda, and that people are doing to me with a false narrative. We suffered a lot. I got very emotional and lost control. I must apologize to the Queen, the Infanta, and the royal household. My sincere apologies. And that's where the apologies end.
Yeah.
Because he does not feel like he should be at fault for making
out. Tell him how he said it went down.
Okay. This is his breakdown of the particular incident. Hermoso, which is the woman he kissed, had missed a penalty. That's a neg, by the way. We call that a neg. Okay. I have a great relationship with all the players. In the moment that Jenny arrived, she lifted me up off the ground. We almost fell over. We hugged. I said, forget about the penalty. You've been fantastic. We wouldn't have won the World Cup without you. She said, you're great. I said, a kiss? And she said, yes.
There it is. Case closed. Where's my gavel?
Are you going to rule in favor of Luis?
Where's my gavel?
Someone's taking his gavel, so you can't make a ruling.
My freaking gavel. I bought that on Amazon.
Why would you leave your stuff around here? Take it to your office.
Where's my damn gavel?
Yeah, he was about to yell at people. His gavel's just hiding behind things. Case closed?
Case dismissed.
On the basis of his testimony?
Yeah, that's the only test. Okay, I'll do you one better. We ask Hermoso, should he be gone? Should he resign? And if she says no, that's it. Well, if she says yes, that's it.
So you're
thumbs
you're,
up, thumbs down. We're going to do the whole, was the movie, Gladiator thing.
Yeah, Commodus. Thumbs up, yep. Thumbs down.
She gets to choose.
I'm looking at this again, and I'm looking at the video
again. You can see her lift her off the ground.
Yeah,
and make him kiss.
Well,
her.
He's hugging a lot of the players. And
does he say a kiss? Can you see it?
I don't know
it's
what
beso.
A kiss. I don't. I can't
could
relive.
Say besita.
But I can't see your face, so I don't know if she's like yes. I don't know if she says yes.
See,
according to, or
like
see,
see,
according to him. But we can't
beso.
See.
Si.
We can't see her face. We just see the back of her, and he kissed her, and he's saying, "I'm not effing leaving."
Lenga, no. I think that's tongue.
We call ten toes downs. Strong in the paint. He ain't going nowhere.
No. You're I like that man's taking a stand.
We got the four. You let like that? You sure you want to?
I've decided.
You sure you want to say that?
I've decided he should take a stand. It's better for this show.
It is.
Sometimes I make decisions based on what's best for the show.
So you've decided.
I think John should be able to take a crack at this one.
There too. Since it's all in Spanish, the audio won't be. I guess it'll be helpful for some people, but. He says at one point, they're not trying to do justice. They're trying to do a social murder. They're trying to kill me.
There it is. Cancel. That's what he means.
Yeah, he means
social murder is the same as cancel. In Spanish, social murder means cancel.
And one of the teammates of Jenny Hermoso, I heard you, Sean. We're going to go to break right after this. Alexia Putella says, it's unacceptable. Or Putellas. It's over. We are with you, teammate. So they don't agree with the president not resigning.
See? The team's with him. Everyone
else... the team is with her, not him.
Oh, they are?
They don't agree with him not resigning.
Oh. Well, then that's a twist. We just had a twist.
You thought the women would side with him?
Yeah. Look how good he's done for them. He helped them win a World
Cup.
Yeah,
the best management in Spanish football history. That's what we heard.
That's what he told us.
Yes.
9:49. We get back. A truncated news of the weird, but a news of the weird nonetheless. 7-1. Nah, don't worry about a phone call. Do I have a live spot here, Sean? I'm done. We come back, News of the Weird. I'll see how it feels to actually make one up.
ESPN, 97.5 and 92.5. Pitter-patter.
Well, pitter-patter, let's get at her.
Time now for News of the Weird with John and Lance.
Weird. Weird. John and Lance Weird.
News of the Weird.
News.
Weird. News of the Weird. And I don't know how weird this is, Dell. You tell me. But I'll read it anyway. Billie Eilish has been praised for flying economy despite having $30 million in net worth. I think that is weird. If you have $30 million in net worth, pay the extra money and get the extra
leg
space.
Yeah, I think that's weird. Why punish yourself for, I guess, to impress people? Like, I get you don't want to fly private because, you know, your carbon footprint or whatever you want to call it. But average people who save money just for a vacation will fly first class. You can't fly. You've earned that money. Fly first class. Who cares? Yeah. Anyone who begrudges her, it's not like she stole that money from a charity and now she's using it for ill-gotten gains. She earned that money. Fly first class if you want.
In Ocala, Florida, a man wearing a T-shirt on the back that said, "I'm the reason the beer is always gone," T-shirt, was charged with DUI.
Surprising.
After deputies said he was driving almost 3 times over the legal limit. Yes, he is a professional beer disappear guy. He disappears beer. I think that's an accurate
I like
shirt.
People to be self-aware, and he understands who he is. I would just ask that he not drive while he's making beer disappear.
But he told you who he is.
He understands.
He makes the beer disappear, and I believe him. Sometimes you have to believe when people tell you who they are, you got to believe
him. Yeah, Luis Rubiales is telling us who he is, and we have to believe him.
Yeah, he's a consensual kiss guy and the best manager in Spain Women's Cup history.
No, he says Spanish football, so I think that means even the men's team who won a World Cup. What they did, what he and the manager did was the best job in Spanish football history.
A woman from Nixa, which is, I don't know, someplace in Missouri, is being arrested for first-degree arson. Patricia Williams, 42, is being held in Greene County Jail for arson and other warrants after an incident on August 11. According to probable cause report, police arrived at the scene and saw smoke coming from the back door with people standing out front. The report states that witnesses inside the house saw Williams pour gasoline from a soda bottle onto clothes and then the floor of the laundry room. Williams then lit Takis on fire.
I was wondering what the weird part
she
of the story
lit
was.
Takis on fire.
That's disgraceful.
And tossed them onto the gasoline.
Are Takis in a accelerant?
Well, this is what I... That's my question.
I know what they do to your insides, but what do they do for a fire?
Takis and hot Cheetos. And by the way, if you're going with Takis, I'm Takis over hot Cheetos. But I recognize...
I'm a traditionalist. I go with hot Cheetos.
It will do damage to you. But I just want you to know what you're eating can literally catch fire.
I hope I find out that Takis are an accelerant. And that's why she used them. It burns hotter than normal fire if you throw Takis on.
There's trace amounts of lighter fluid in it or something.
Yeah.
Just see... Does it feel like when you're taking a dump?
Oh, see, you're aggressive.
Takis are hot.
See, I said what they do to your inside. He had to go to a different
level.
Well,
speaking of that...
There's more?
It's something no one wants to discover when they lift the lid of an unfamiliar toilet. A skid mark. Luckily, scientists say they have a solution to these... We got scientists
this
on this.
This is not weird. No, everyone knows you don't want to see a skid mark.
So you're Chinese, a doctor, huh? What are you working on?
Chinese researchers...
You've gone to school for 8 years.
Chinese researchers in the wet market had developed a non-stick toilet bowl surface. There's the weird part. They developed non-stick toilet bowl surfaces that can make toilet brushes obsolete. The team from the whatever university, science and technology.
He didn't want to butcher a name.
They used 3D printing technology to fabricate what they call an abrasion-resistant super slippery flush toilet. ARSFT.
Well, if you could guarantee me that if I opened up a public toilet and I didn't see the remnants of somebody else's waste, I would be happy. I just don't know how much needs to be put into it.
I'll be honest with you. This is not news of the weird.
It's
this
not
is
that
news
weird.
Of the. This is news of.
News
this
of
is why
science.
China's beating us.
Because they
think of stuff like this. Our kids are running around eating Takis. We got grown women
setting
starting fires.
Pickleball.
We got pickleball idiots out
there
playing.
Is every kid who buys Takis a potential arsonist if we're going by what that woman did?
Well, I know. It creates arson in your gut.
Yeah.
And how about this? We got professional athletes. Our professional athletes are funding pickleball. Theirs are probably giving money to science to figure out, you know what the nastiest thing to do? When you open that toilet up, you go, oh, God, that's terrible. This is why China's beating us. But they're already ahead of us on this kind of thing.
Is it nastier than going into our restrooms at a point in time in the history of the station where
no.
you would find poo in the garbage can wrapped up?
Well, I can't. I don't. No. That's news of the weird,
it's
too.
Not, and I'm not lying.
I don't want
he
to
knows
talk.
I'm not lying.
This is
it's
a dark time in this, for this building. It was a dark time. And finally, Emmy Buono, an Italian model who has her own OnlyFans content that was pornographic. Her boyfriend's family saw the leaked content. She's now being harassed with ugly, inappropriate things being said to her, even when she's with her mother.
That's not
and
weird.
She says, I don't want to become a saint, that's for sure, but I want to distance myself from people who judge me and people I meet on the street. I want to enter the convent to find some peace and well-being. She's going from OnlyFans to the convent.
She's been shamed into being a nun.
Shame! Hey, the High Sparrow couldn't do it. Maybe finally Italy's going to do it. That's going to do it. Coming up next, the usual suspects, Joel Blank and Barry Laminack. So keep it right here on ESPN 97.5. Have a great weekend.
ESPN 97.5 on Twitch. We control the spice.
The spice extends life. The spice expands consciousness.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Super Sale and get 40% off paints and stains August 8th through the 14th. With prices starting at $29.39, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.